Hi, my name is Stephen Walther, and in this video, I'm going to be talking about URL routing. In particular, I'm going to be talking about how URL routing relates to building an ASP.NET MVC application. Now, I should say up front, you can use URL routing when building an ASP.NET web forms application. I'm not going to be talking about that. You can download, if you download Visual Studio 2008 Service Pack 1, you can use, URL routing with any type of ASP.NET application. I'm going to be talking specifically about using URL routing when building an ASP.NET MVC application. Now, while URL routing is kind of an optional component of an ASP.NET web forms application, URL routing is a critical component of any ASP.NET MVC application. The reason for that is URL routing is what determines how incoming browser requests get mapped over to MVC controller actions. So if you don't have URL routing set up, nothing happens. Your application just doesn't get off the ground because, it kind of determines how your MVC application interacts with the world. So how does URL routing work? Well, let me show you. I already have Visual Studio 2008 open, and I've already created a new MVC application project and using Visual Basic. So I already have it open over here. Now, what I want to show you is if I open up the web.config file and I scroll to the very bottom of this file, you'll notice that within the modules section, there's something called the URL routing module that's registered right there. Now, technically, URL routing is implemented by creating an HTTP module. The HTTP module intercepts all the requests coming into your MVC application. So that's how it, kind of all works under the covers. Now, you don't ever normally have to register this. This is part of the default template that you get when you create a new ASP.NET MVC project using 2008. Just be careful never to, delete this module section or everything will stop working. Okay, so how does it actually work? Well, URL routing takes advantage of something called a route table, and the route table is used to do the mapping between the incoming requests and the MVC controller actions. Now, this route table is set up within your global.asax file. So let me open up the default one that you get with a new ASP.NET MVC project. Now, the global.asax file is used to handle, sort of application lifecycle events, things like application start, application end. You'll notice that in the default one you get with a new ASP.NET MVC project, there's a handler for the application start event. And within this handler, this method called registerRoutes is called. RegisterRoutes method is defined right here. What it does is it sets up a route table that contains just one route. You create routes in a route table by calling the mapRoute method. And in this case, the mapRoute method is, creating the default routes that's used for an ASP.NET MVC application. This default route is meant to handle, 85% of the cases of how you want to set up your routing between your requests and your application. So this version of MapRoute takes three parameters. The first parameter is the name of the route, so you have some unique way to identify the different routes in the route table. The second parameter is a URL, and this parameter really does two things. First, it sets up the pattern for the pattern of the request that this route is going to intercept. So this pattern says that this is going to intercept a request that has three segments in it. The other thing that this URL parameter does is it maps the different segments in the URL to different parameter names. So what this does is it says go ahead and map the first segment of a URL over to a parameter name controller, the second segment to something called action, and finally the third segment to ID. Now, the final thing passed into the MapRoute method is a set of defaults. And what these defaults do is they say that If you don't pass in a controller, then the default controller should be the home controller. If you don't specify an action on the controller, then the default action should be the index method. And finally, if you don't specify an ID, then the ID should be treated as an empty string. So what that says is if you type in a URL in your browser and you don't put in you don't put in anything at all, it's going to default to calling the home controller and invoking the index method on the home controller. That's how it works. I'll show you that. So I'll go ahead and run the sample application that you get when you first install a new ASP.NET MVC. When you first create a new ASP.NET MVC project, there we go. And you'll notice that if I just type in nothing at all, then it shows the view for, you know, the home controller, and it shows it for the index view. So I can be explicit about this and do /index, and it'll show the exact same thing. It's just going to fall over to using the home controller and the index method. If I take everything out, again, going to use the home controller and the index method. If I put in home /about, that's going to call the about method on the home controller instead of the index method, and we get a separate view. So that's all working as we expect. If we put in, you know, we put in a method that doesn't exist, like do something, and in that case, we'll get a 404 error because it's not going to be able to find it. It doesn't know what to do with it. Okay, so so again, you know, 85% of the time this works fine. What this is going to do is it's going to map over to the home controller class. And it's either going to invoke the index method or the about method, depending on, you know, what the URL works, what the URL looks like. Now, of course, you can add your own, you know, custom actions onto the home controller class. For example, you could add a do something action onto it. And it might do something action. I'm just going to return hi from do something. So we know it gets invoked. And now if I run it, I can go home / do something, and I get hi from do something. So that works fine. I can add, you know, any actions I want onto any of the controllers. And of course, I can make, you know, new controllers too. That's pretty normal. If I wanted to create like a new, say, you know, like product controller, I can just add a new item into the controllers folder, and I'm going to add in an MVC controller class, and I'm just going to call it product controller. So now we have a new controller class. It gives us an index, an unimplemented index action by default. I'm going to go ahead and add in another action. I'm going to create an action called, you know, let's call it get price. And I'm just going to return a string called getPrice, so we know that it's been called. And now if I run this, I can go ahead and say, instead of saying /home, I can say /product, /getPrice. And now, you know, it returns a string. So that all works fine. So, you know, you can easily add new actions under existing controllers. You can easily create new controllers, and they get mapped over using the default route that you get in the route table. It all works out fine. Now, the default route is, you'll start to run into the limitations of the default route as soon as you need to do something, you know, beyond the 85% scenario. For example, one situation that comes up is, for example, if you wanted to create a blog. And in a blog, it's pretty normal to want to have URLs that look like this, right? This last one, you use /archive, / the date of the entry for the blog that you want to get. Now, this isn't going to work with the default controller, because what this will do is it'll say, oh, I see, you know, it's starting with archive, so that's going to be the controller name. But then it's going to see this date here, and it's going to automatically assume that that's the action that should call in the controller, which isn't what you want. You want to pass this into a parameter as a parameter to, you know, some sort of action that you defined on the controller, because you can't create a method for each and every possible date that you might want in a blog. So how do you fix this? How do you add a route that can handle this situation? Well, it's pretty easy. I'm going to go back to the global.asax file, and I'm going to copy this existing route and modify it so that I can handle the case of, you know, a blog archive. Now, the order of the routes is important because it's going to use, you know, something like a first match algorithm. So if I stuck this guy below here, I might run into problems. So I'm going to make sure that I have my my archive route I'm going to find above the other default route. So since this is related to using a blog, I'm just going to give it the name blog. I can put in anything I want there. It doesn't really matter. The other thing I want to do is I want to intercept any requests for anything that starts with archive. I'm going to give a sort of hard-coded action, so I don't want that in there. But what I do want as part of the URL is the entry date for the blog entry. So that's the sort of URL that I want to match, and it's going to map over, you know, whatever I put in front of the forward slash into the entry date. Now, now I need to specify the controller. The controller is going to be archive. I have to create that controller in a moment. The action is going to be entry, and there is no ID. I'm not going to specify an ID. And there we go. So this route should be set up correctly. This custom route, it should match, you know, sort of the pattern that I want for blog entries. Okay, so let me go ahead and create the archive controller. That's what I've called it right there. So it's going to look for a controller called archive. And I'm going to go ahead, it has to be called archive controller. You have to actually have the word controller in there. And I'm going to add another function. It has to be called entry, because that's what I said it would be called in the route table. And the parameter here has to be called entry date. Again, that's because that's what I said when I set up the route table. Oops, that's not right. It should be a date time. That's better. Okay, and I'm just going to echo back the date that they give me. So I'm going to say, you requested the entry. Oops, you requested the entry on, and then I was going to, you know, add in entry date to string. There we go. And that way we can tell whether it's working or not. All right, so if this is working correctly, I should be able to put in, you know, a URL that says archive forward slash date, and it should invoke this method because I put in the custom route. Let's make sure that that works. So I'm going to use forward slash archive and 12/25/1966 should be a valid date. Hit return, and it says you requested the entry on. So that worked. It you know, successfully invoked the right action on the right controller class. Notice I do want to emphasize that. Notice I'm passing in this this date up here, and inside the action method, notice that this has become strongly typed as a date time. So that all works fine. It automatically converts that date over. You need to make sure that you can convert that date over to, you know, to the right type, or you'll run into problems. You'll get an error if you do it. So I hope that this is enough to give you a sense of how URL routing works within an MVC application, how you use it to map incoming requests to controller actions, and how I've also kind of shown you how you can create your own, you know, custom routes and modify the default route table that you get when you build a new MVC application. Thank you.